Chad is the fifth largest country in Africa, and is twice as big as Texas, with suffering and stress levels which match its size. For many decades, Chad was torn by civil war, and economically, it has been drained by drought and famine. Chad is the seventh poorest country in the world, and 80% of the population lives below the poverty line. Crime constantly increases, and terrorists often attack with little or no warning. Chad also is the home to many unmapped minefields along the borders. The list goes on and on concerning the social and economic struggles of the country. Gallup's 2019 Global Emotions Report states that Chad was the most negative country in the world last year. And before we begin to point fingers at this country, may we be reminded that the United States was reported as having most Americans experiencing high levels of stress in 2018. A Gallup editor wrote in a summary report, "Even as their economy roared, more Americans were stressed, angry, and worried last year, more than they have been at most points in the past decade. As a matter of fact, Americans were more stressed than the poor residents of Chad." Stress causes us to perform and respond in interesting ways. Stress disrupts our peace. From our gospel reading in John, we can imagine a frightened and stressed group of disciples who lived in a violent society. Disciples who would soon lose their advocate, who would perhaps live with compromises in order to maintain a level of peace. Disciples who lived in a society in which Rome's idea of keeping the peace was by nailing troublemakers to crosses in plain sight. Jesus had been one of those troublemakers and experienced one of the most horrific deaths known to mankind. But Jesus knew his next steps living among his disciples would be problematic for his friends. He understood their weaknesses and what their human responses might be once he left them. And so he offered words of encouragement and support for them to hold close to their hearts for the moment of his departure. Jesus understood that the disciples would be somewhat stressed. He knew they would need comfort and assurance of his peace among them. Jesus understood the consequences of their continued ministry and the work required for the gospel to continuously be shared throughout the nations, even after his departure. So the words Jesus leaves with them is in the hope that their weary souls would find peace and reap the benefits of the advocate, trusting and knowing that the Holy Spirit would be with them always. As Jesus offers this gift of peace to them, it is also to serve as a constant reminder that this peace he gives is not just for today, but for always. His peace was not just available when he was in their presence, but more importantly, when his physical earthly sojourn would end. This reassurance of the peace of the Lord also offers us a wonderful promise, an expression of love as well. For in these very words today, we too are offered a promise of love and the gift of peace. This peace offering can be reassuring to us most of the time. But perhaps in our humanity, there can be a somewhat strangeness to the offering of a spirit of peace, which should remain with us always, regardless of what we see, as well as things unseen. Each week as we gather, we greet one another with the words, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." But what is this peace which we exchange, and how do we continue to live and grow into its purposes for our lives today? There is a story told about peace which may help us to flush through the intent and the purpose of Jesus' words today. There was once a wealthy man who commissioned an artist to paint an image which depicted peace. After a great deal of thought, the artist painted a beautiful country scene with green fields and with birds flying in a blue sky. When the artist presented the picture to the man, he noticed a look of disappointment upon the patron's face. The man said to the artist, "This isn't a picture of true peace. Try again." The artist returned to his studio, reflected a bit more, and began to paint. When he was finished, there was a beautiful picture of a mother holding a sleeping baby as she lovingly smiled at the child. He thought to himself, "Surely, this is true peace." And he hurried to present it to his patron. But again, the wealthy man refused the painting and asked the painter to try again. The artist returned again to his studio, feeling a bit discouraged. Anger swelled inside of him, and he began to pray for inspiration to paint a picture of true peace. All of a sudden, he rushed to his canvas and began to paint as he never had before. When he finished, he rushed to show the painting to the wealthy man. The man studied it carefully for several moments, and the artist held his breath. And then the man finally said, "Now this is a picture of true peace." The picture showed a stormy sea pounding against a cliff. The artist captured the fury of the wind as it whipped black rain clouds laced with streaks of lightning. And in the middle of the picture, under the cliff, the artist painted a small bird, safe and dry in her nest, snuggled within the rocks. The bird was at peace in the midst of the storm which raged around her. When I hear this story, I often feel that this is the very type of peace which Jesus offered to the disciples and gives to us today. This is not a worldly type of peace, but the type of peace that we feel from nature, beautiful and serene, the peace we experience of mother and child, tender and gentle, the peace of the absence of conflict, where we study war no more, knowing that in the midst of turmoil, there is a rock which can shelter us. This type of peace is a place where we can nurture and raise new generations without fear. It is a peace of power which spreads its wings around us to keep us safe. This is the type of peace Christ gives each of us, and it is the very type of peace he expects for us to share and foster throughout the world today. So many times throughout the seasons of our lives, we too seek peace in the world, in our homes, and on our jobs. We look for safe places where there is nothing that can disturb us. We look for the quieting of our hearts, disturbed so often by fear. We look for blessed assurance, for hope, for joy. But I think we may often also seek a type of peace in ways which do not serve us well, and perhaps pray for a type of peace in which we are not, which are not beneficial to the whole of our communities. And if you are like me, perhaps we also look for peace and seek peace with our very best intentions, yet somehow forget that the lack of peace within our hearts and in our world is a consequence of other factors rather than the actual problems we face. In Hebrew, shalom is much more than the absence of things which disturb us. Shalom is linked to wholeness, to being at one with God and neighbor. Shalom is not just linked to the absence of war, but also to cause and elimination of conflict, such as greed, injustice, and intolerance. Shalom is linked not just to the absence of greed, but it also wants to usher in peaceful spirits. I believe this is the very type of peace in which Jesus offered the disciples, and it is a gift for us today. Through the Spirit of peace, we are to work as we await the new heaven and the new earth, which we inherit as faith walkers who claim God's vision and embrace the light it sheds upon us. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Through the presence of peace, Jesus was and is the one who heals disease rather than the one who simply masks its symptoms. Jesus was and Jesus is the one who builds a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth rather than simply trying to fix the old one. And the peace Jesus promises to each of us goes far beyond even the peace in which the artist presented to his patron. For the peace of Christ is found in living a life of faith and in walking according to the life and ministry of Christ. Peace is found in trusting in the living God and in God's love everlasting. My sisters and brothers in Christ, the world today is in turmoil, and there is constantly a great storm raging around us. But may we remember the words of Christ in each new day. May we look to the good which surrounds us. May we do all the good as much as we can, wherever we can, in peace, in joy, in love. May we always be mindful that the peace of Christ is not simply a peace of huddling on the nest while the storm rages. But it is a peace of knowing that when the storm is over, it is over forever, and all of creation will be at peace. The words of Jesus concerning his gift of peace are not always easily to live into. His peace is not always a peace which we eagerly embrace, but it is a peace which endures, a peace which triumphs, a peace which heals from generation to generation. And for that, we should boldly say, thanks be to God. Amen.